Good morning. We do welcome you to Calvary Chapel, and along with Tim, I just want to make sure we do extend to all you moms just a special welcome and just let you know how much you are appreciated. I really don't think words could begin to capture your importance, Mom. I know you often don't hear that, but please know that God, of course, knows, and the role you're fulfilling is such a crucial one in the lives of the children. How would I begin to talk about all the things you do in terms of ministering to a fevered brow in the middle of the night, giving a hug when there's been an owie, just the encouragement and all that you moms do, the difference that you make. Thank you. Thank you. And again, God knows, and there's a well done in your future. Thanks. Thanks. We thank God for each of you moms. Just know that. Not just moms, of course, but grandmas and great-grandmas and all. Just the difference all you ladies make in the kids' lives are awesome. And the kids, I think, at some level know it. Kids don't always say thank you that much, but you're appreciated. I was just thinking how the other day I was sitting around the house there, and our youngest grandson came over and sat next to me. He was kind of cuddling up next to me. And I thought, hey, that's kind of cool. And then grandma sat down, and he made a beeline for grandma real fast. He loves grandpa, but he knows where grandma is, and that special love that grandma has. And so just know that. Moms, you're making all the difference. You're much appreciated. Well, we're traveling through the Bible around here. We are in 1 Peter, so let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 2 is where we left off. To help you study along with us, the ushers would count it a privilege to give you a Bible. Just raise your hand, and they'll pass the Bible over to you. If you need a Bible to keep, that Bible is all yours, of course. They also have pencils for keeping notes. We encourage you to do that. But in particular, make sure you have a Bible and turn to that New Testament book of 1 Peter. We are in chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Therefore, Peter says, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. There was a common saying just a few years ago that said, you are what you eat. And it was meant to simply capture that truth, that it is very, very important, of course, what you take in, that your body will only be as healthy as and all, and it'll only grow and function properly, is if you put healthy stuff into it. You are what you eat, was the idea of capturing that. Well, here Peter takes that truth, and he takes it from, you might say, the natural, the physical realm, and applies it to the spiritual as well. So as it is in the physical, so it is in the spiritual. What you are, what you eat. Now, in saying this, it's not like I'm exactly putting out a newsflash. You know very well, since you're young, mom, dad, school, all kinds of places teach us the importance of eating healthy food. So we all understand that idea of you are what you eat. Your body needs healthy things to build on if it's going to be healthy. We know all that. But that doesn't mean we do it. We know we should stay away from the fries and the Big Macs and all, but somehow our car just turns in there. We find ourselves ordering the going big with the fries or something. So although we know what we're going to look at this morning, you understand this already. The danger is that we will tune out to it. And that in itself is part of the pitfall. Because though we know it, we need to be reminded of it, and we need to really be challenged. Are we doing it? Remember the setting. Peter is trying to get them, those who he's writing to directly, as well as us, ready for some really tough times. The book of 1 Peter was written, this letter was written, right about the time that these believers would have been going through or about to go through some very severe trials. Nero, the Roman emperor, in October 64, launched a horrible wave of persecution against Christians, We've mentioned it before. How we would take Christians alive and dip them in tar and set them on fire to light his gardens. Horrible, horrible times of persecution. Much suffering was up ahead. And so Peter, in writing this, is stressing that if we're going to grow spiritually, if we're going to be strong spiritually, if we're going to be able to handle all we go through, there's some things that have to be settled. And in particular this morning, he's going to say, your spiritual diet is crucial to how you're going to do. And so he says in verse 2 here, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And I've called our time together based on that, the pure milk of the word. Let's pray. Father, I pray help us not to tune out to this, Lord. Just as in the physical realm, so it can be even in the spiritual, that we think we know these things, and we've heard it so much that the great danger is, Lord, we don't let you speak to us and challenge us or do whatever needs to be done. So I pray for myself and each one here. Lord, I ask that you would just cause the Holy Spirit now to challenge us, to take your word and challenge us, to exhort whatever might need to happen, Lord. Lord, we ask you, because you love us, Lord, we ask you now, examine our diet, our spiritual diet. Help us be honest before you. What have we really been taking in? What are we trying to build on? Oh, Lord, help us to live here then and be doers. Not just mentally agree to it, but to put into practice that which is going to result in healthy spiritual lives in you. So, Lord, we give you us. We give you this time. We ask you to work, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 2, verse 1 starts with the word, therefore, as is commonly said, and we bring it up in here from time to time, and that is, whenever you see the word therefore, you ask, what's it there for? Because the word therefore is a connecting word. It means based on what was just said, the following is to be true. So we're going to need to go back and look at the couple of verses right before this. Now remember, in the original writings, there was not chapter and verse. That was added later for our benefits. When we study the Bible, we can memorize or find a particular portion of Scripture or something. But this was originally just a letter. And so he's continuing a thought here in our, what we call chapter 2, verse 1. He says, therefore. He's connecting it back to what he just said. Let's look at it. Go back to the last chapter of chapter 1. Starts at verse 22. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Last week we studied these verses in terms of the application, the fact that it's God's call here, a statement that is, if you are indeed born again, then what is to mark your life, the new nature that you now have, should be marked by love of your brothers and sisters. We're to love one another. So we focused on that last time in that paragraph. But this morning we see there is this further point. And that is, at the end of chapter 1, he's talking about spiritual birth and how that birth occurred. Look at verse 23. Having been born again, that's referring to the fact that everyone, if they're going to see heaven, needs to be born again. We talked about that. And that occurs by receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. You must be born again. Well, how does that occur, he says? Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. How? Through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brought to bear upon your lives the truth and all of the Word of God. Through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So, chapter 1 ends talking about birth. Spiritual birth. What does chapter 2 begin with? What's therefore connected to? Verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word. So what's the connection? The end of chapter 1 is talking about birth. Spiritual birth. Chapter 2 is what? About growth. So one talks about birth, but after birth, if everything's healthy, everything's the way it should be, it was designed that after birth should come growth. growth. God didn't save you then to put you on the shelf, but to begin this awesome adventure of His work in and through your life as you would grow spiritually in Him. That's the idea here. And how does that occur? He's saying the same way you're born. How are you born again? Through the Word of God. That powerful Word of God, which is alive and active and sharper than the two-edged sword. The Word of God in the Holy Spirit's hand spoke to you and brought you to that understanding. And what's He saying? Just as you are born through the Word of God, it is through the Word of God that you will keep growing spiritually. There's no other way to grow, to be nourished spiritually, than through the Word of God. So, our spiritual lives are to be marked by growth. Growth is the natural outcome of birth. A little baby is cute. But if that little baby stayed like that year after year, we would stop saying how cute. We'd say something's wrong. Because the design is growth. And so it is for you spiritually. But are you? See, that's the challenge. Are you growing spiritually? I mean, be really honest here. Let God be real with you. Be real with Him. He knows. He loves you. He designed growth. But are you really? Are you the same place you were a month ago, a year ago, spiritually? Maybe even less growth. Maybe falling back a little. But that's the challenge. Are you growing spiritually or are you stagnant? Is your growth stunted? That's the challenge set before us this morning. And if you indeed are stuck, you're not growing spiritually, you're the same place you were last month, last year, then that's what brings us to our focus for this morning, and namely, what have you been eating spiritually? Now, I'm about to use an object lesson, an illustration. Now, please understand, it is simply that. Any illustration can be stretched too far. And well, it doesn't apply here, or what about that? I understand that, but it's just to try to maybe stick the image in our brains a little better. And so I'm going to set before us two plates, and they represent two potential diets physically. One is what we're going to label junk food. I told the ushers, I want this here afterwards. I don't know. And they did a pretty good job. Nobody came up here during the service, helped themselves. What is the first plate? It's going to represent junk food. We got some yummy marshmallows. We have some chocolate, some Skittles, M&Ms, junk food. A potential diet that someone could use. The second plate is going to represent healthy food. Now, I am not a registered dietitian. Don't get too hung up on the example and miss the point. But basically, what I put on here are some items like an apple. I have some strawberries on here. So we have some carrots here. So we have some veggies and fruit. I have a muffin. Now, some of you might say, the muffin goes to the junk food. All I'm trying to say is some carbs. We all know we need carbs. And I have some string cheese, meaning we need dairy products. That's simply the idea, okay? Everybody you get the idea here. The idea is one plate represents healthy food. And one represents junk food. And it represents the choices we can make for these bodies of ours, the physical body. And we have the choice of what we're going to put into it. And that in turn will determine how healthy our bodies are. Well, just as is true on the physical realm, what Peter's pointing out here is just as true on the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm has the same equivalence. That's what Peter's talking about. What have you been eating spiritually? What do you use to try to feed your soul? How did God design that you and I are going to be healthy and grow? And do we track with that? Again, we all know these things, be it on the physical realm or the spiritual realm. We know it. But what are we actually partaking of, taking in, assimilating in the spiritual realm? That's the challenge before us. What's your main diet spiritually? See, if the truth be told, for too many people, spiritually speaking, you're eating a whole lot from the junk food side. And if that's the case, might that not explain why you're at where you are spiritually. Why you're stuck. Why you struggle. Why it seems each day is kind of futile. Don't seem to be growing. Is this all there is? How come I don't seem to have any much spiritual strength? My prayer life is kind of anemic. Might it not be because of what you're eating spiritually? The junk food that you're taking in. Well, let's dive into our text and see what we can learn and make some applications here. Verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. How interesting. Peter doesn't get right into what we eat in that regard. He doesn't get right into the healthy stuff. In a minute, he's going to get into the healthy stuff in verse 2 there. But notice how he begins here. What an interesting challenge that is. He begins by giving us a list of things that what? If we're about these things, they will block healthy growth. These are the things that will stop you from being able to receive or be interested in or be hungry for the good things. And so here we have at that spiritual level, if you will, some things that block, interfere with healthy growth. And so before you're going to be able to take in, you got to put aside some other things. He says, laying aside. It's a translation of a Greek word that means taking off. As if you're just taking off your clothes and just get rid of it. Cast it aside is the idea. Get rid of this stuff out of your life. Now let's look at this list real quick to consider it. What are the things we need to make sure that we're not having going on that's going to block growth? Well, let's look at this list. It says, all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. I'm going to give just a brief definition for each of these. I'm actually going to take from a particular commentary, a commentator that I read that gave his definitions. And I'm using his because he uses the word desire in the front of each of these definitions. I like that because it's going to contrast the idea of desire and the pure milk of the word. So you're going to desire one or the other. And here's how he defines them. He says malice. Malice is a desire to hurt someone with words or deeds. He says guile is a desire to gain advantage or preserve some position by deceiving others. It says all deceit in our New King James. Hypocrisy, he defines as a desire not to be known for what really is. Envy, he says that's a desire for some privilege or benefit that belongs to another with resentment that another has it and you don't. And lastly, evil speaking. He says that's the desire for revenge and self-enhancement, often driven by the deeper desire to deflect attention from our own failings. So there are some definitions using the word desire in front of each of these. But really, you know what all of these words mean. They're what the other guy does. Right? Matter of fact, I sure hope so-and-so is here because he sure needs to hear that, doesn't he? If she were just here because she's just a living example of that. See, that's our tendency. Oh, but not me. Oh, we would never get into gossip and evil speaking or wishing harm for anybody or being envious, saying, I wish I had what she had or he had. We would never try to put on two faces. We'd never act like we're something we're not. Well, obviously I'm being facetious here. These hit home. At least they potentially do. But the danger is they get in the way of healthy growth. See, the idea is that a desire for God's word and his goodness cannot flourish in a heart where these desires live. They're going to compete. You've got to lay aside the one that the other might flourish, the desire for what God would have. Verse 2. As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Peter's setting before us an analogy, a type, an example here. It's prefaced by the word as. That's what tells us, okay, this analogy here. As a newborn babe. And what's the point here? Saying as a newborn baby wants milk, recognize that it needs nourishment if it's going to grow and be strong, so we are to desire God's word. So that's the idea there. That's the example that's being put before it. As a newborn babe desires milk. How does a baby desire milk? Especially at those 3 o'clock in the morning feedings. How does the baby desire milk? Moms, on this Mother's Day, what did you find? Does the baby at 3 o'clock in the morning say, you know, Mom, if it's not too much trouble, you know, if you're not asleep, when you kind of get in the mood, because you kind of wander in here and give me a few slurps, I'm kind of thirsty here, and I'm kind of hungry, come on in. If it's not convenient, we'll skip it. No! What's the baby do? It announces to the whole world. Everybody in the block knows, it's time to eat, and I'm ready. And you know what it's like. And you know, you've fed the little ones. They're thirsty, and you get the baby up there. And you know, you ever try to like calm the baby down? You don't have a bottle, so you like use your finger or something. I mean, they glom on. But within a few seconds, they're going, wait a minute, no nourishment there. And real quick, they say, that's, out goes the finger, you know. And it lets you know, time to eat. So really, does the word desire really capture it? See, it's the word that's translated desire there in our New King James, the translation of a word that means have a yearning desire for or longing after. Maybe that's why in your New International Version, who has a New International Version? Forgive you do. In NIV, it says what? Crave. It says crave. As a baby craves milk. Do you crave the Word of God? Be honest. Do you really crave it? Day after day, do you recognize your need and say, I'm not going to settle for anything else? And not if it's convenient or something. Man, I need it. I need it to be strong. I need to be healthy. I've got hunger pains. I crave God's Word. That's the example set before us. Do you crave healthy food spiritually? Or truth be told, you just want to satisfy, you know, the sweet urges, you know. My tongue wants some sugar. Which one is it? What do you really crave spiritually? That's the challenge. And what does it say? How does it describe this milk of the Word? Remember, it's an example here. What does the baby need and what do we need? The pure milk of the Word. Notice that. Pure, you understand the word. It means something that's unmixed, undiluted. For it to have all the nourishment that you need, you want it to be pure. Don't mix anything else in there. Now, I know, moms, there might have been times in your life when you went to get milk for the cereal and you went, uh-oh. You put it under the sink and kind of stretch the milk a little, put a little water in there, like, oh, look. Well, it might work for a little bit until you've done that about 10 times and they're going, Mom, it's water. You don't want diluted and mixed, especially spiritually. You want pure. Again, it might take flavoring milk with chocolate to get the kids to drink it. But it's a shame that today, too often, that's what Christians seem to want. Flavor the message for me. Put in sweet. Put in chocolate. Put in, you know, tickle my ears. Get something that hits the flesh taste buds, so to speak. Make it snappy and, you know, glitzy and all. Be careful of that. We have to avoid flavored milk, diluted milk, when it comes to hearing God's Word. Too many times the world mixes in its advice. Oh, it might be coming from a pulpit, but they mix in the world's advice in there. They'll stir in some cultural relevancy, the latest book, the latest thing that's going around. They'll mix that into the message. They'll put on a big blender, man's wisdom, God's Word. They blend it all together and present it. And if you don't know better, you go, okay, I guess that tastes okay. Well, the pastor used a scripture, it must be biblical. Well, you look at it and you go, yeah, it's about the only thing that was. Because he blended in a bunch of junk. And again, it might be exciting to hear, oh, funny story, great joke. But you go home and your soul's going, help. I can't eat, I can't, that does, I don't build on that. Of course, chocolate tastes great. But your body's going, but I can't build what I need to build on, marshmallows and chocolate. But it tasted so good going down. Oh, I like that message so much. He has such emotionalism. But was there God's Word in it? See, that's what we need. It needs to be the pure milk of the Word. Now, there's nothing wrong with presenting food in a nice setting. You understand that. Maybe some of you today will be doing that. Maybe setting a nice place setting for mom, or you've been to different meals where, you know, of course you put out the nice napkins, nice silverware, put some flowers on the table. Presentation is fine. Same for God's Word. It's okay. It's important that it be presented in a nice way, with a sound system you can hear, and clean environment, and PowerPoints are fine. Nothing against that kind of stuff. So the presentation is, you know, presentation is important in a meal. But it's not the meal. You don't sit down and go, wow, great napkin. You don't eat the napkin. You don't eat the silverware. It's part of presenting it. But there's got to be food there somewhere or you're going to be hurting. So presentation is okay with PowerPoints and all. But was it the pure milk of God's Word at the core of it and what it was about? That's the challenge. Verse 3. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How are you going to grow? You're going to grow by the milk of God's Word. What's going to be your motivation? The more you know the Word of God, the more you get to know the God of the Word. That He is gracious and loving and kind and compassionate. This is how He's chosen to reveal Himself, by the power of the Holy Spirit through His Word. And so it's an invitation to know God better and better. He wants you to do that. You need that. David, that shepherd boy that God made a king, he had been through a lot on his adventure through life. But he learned something along the way, and he proclaimed this in Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Taste God and see just how good He is. I can tell you all day long how good a meal is. But I can't taste for you and you can't taste for me. You have to eat it yourself. And so David says, come, God's inviting you. Taste and see. See, what does taste mean in this analogy? It means experience. Take Him in and experience Him. And he says, and if you do, blessed is the man who trusted Him. You'll trust Him more and more. You want to know Him more and more. But you have to personally experience His graciousness, His goodness. Taste Him and find out. Experience Him. See, that sounds like verse 3 here, doesn't it? If, that's the word translated, since, indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, to taste means to experientially know. It's that Greek word gnosko. Translated know so often in our Bible, but it means to experientially know. Not just head know, but to heart know, experientially know that God is good. Have you? Have you really tasted the Lord's graciousness? Too many times we hear others. We hear someone else's walk with the Lord. Mom, dad, friends. We see somebody else excited about God. He must be pretty good. Well, yeah, I guess I'll follow along because so-and-so says so. Don't settle for that. Would you really settle for me telling you how great a meal is when there's one for you right there? At some point, would you say, hey, I think I'll try it? He wants you to know personally. But if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I didn't say go to church. I didn't say be religious. I said personally receive Him. Receive the work He did on the cross for you. Then you have never tasted yet. You've heard about it. But you never personally tasted of His grace, His goodness. So none of this applies to you right now. That's the first start you must receive. But once you do, you will taste. And you know what? Most people that come to the Lord, if you really do, you get a taste and you understand that. Wow, you know me and you still love me? That's mercy. That's grace. Wow, I'm going from hell to heaven. I'm going from dark to light. I'm going from hopeless to living hope. I'm going to purposeless to purpose in life. Man, this tastes good. But then we walk with Him a while, and the years move on, and it seems like somehow people start forgetting the grace. And kind of same old, same old. What a danger. What a danger. He wants you to keep tasting and knowing and growing. And that's the call. Have the taste buds gone dull or something? Please hear that in love, but don't settle for less than all He has. Which one are you eating from spiritually is the challenge today. Now, I'm going to change the analogy a little bit because we understand physically that while we can't eat a steady diet of junk food, that once in a while it won't kill us. I mean, we all like a dish of ice cream or something, and that's we understand that. That as long as we're getting a main diet of this, we can kind of have this once in a while. I understand that. So don't stretch this too far. But spiritually, please understand something. You need to make sure that there's a great, great distance between what the world is offering, what's out there, and what God has for it. And I almost need to see this in more graphic terms than just junk food. To see that what's out there, the world and all, you need to see it like a big old pile of dog food. Now, first service, I actually had someone go, yuck! But that's the idea. See it as not just like, I can eat a lot of the world and still be okay. No, see it as even more, and almost like poison, I guess. But just let's stay with the dog food example a moment. Why in the natural realm, in the physical realm, why would anybody want to eat dog food if they had healthy food available? Well, hopefully you say, no one would. I mean, some weird example, but basically the concept is you would pick healthy food over dog food, hopefully. Unless I put you in an environment where there wasn't any healthy food. If I threw you in a prisoner of war camp and you had no food and all your captors would do is throw some dog food in there, first day you might go, yuck. Second day you might start going, I wonder. Third or fourth day, maybe I won't die. And pretty soon, I'm going to eat it because if I don't do that, I'm going to die anyway. But that's because of the absence of the good. But it's an interesting thing on the spiritual realm. It has that same kind of application. If you're not eating healthy, little by little, the world starts having some attraction again. You start getting duped again. Maybe it is out there. Maybe there is some experience. Maybe I can participate in something or eat of something spiritually that is going to satisfy. I can grow spiritually from it. And we get duped because it's a ripoff. But we let the world convince us. And remember, all the world knows is dog food in this example I'm using. All the world does, the best the world has is dog food. It doesn't know the steak and the lobster of the Lord. The world's never tasted of the Lord. So the best it knows of is what the world offers. There was a day it was all I knew. There was a day it was all you knew. The dog food in this example of the world. The best the world had to offer was some experience, be it some substance that you would take, somebody you would be with in some way, some experience that you'd watch or do or go somewhere or something. I mean, you'd live for weekends because you could get out the dog food. And that was what it was all about, to use the best there is, because that's all you knew. But then God got a hold of you. And for the first time you drank of living water. And your soul went, whoa, that's what I was missing. And you came to know the steak and the lobster of the Lord, in this example. And so once you've done that, see, here's the interesting thing. The world comes along, once you're saved and you're, wow, I'm picking the Lord. I'm picking His Word. I'm going to go with the steak and the lobster of the Lord. You're doing that. Well, what happens? Along comes your old friends and they go, man, what's happened to you? You mean you can't do that stuff anymore? You can't go do that stuff like we used to? You can't go partake of that or have this experience or party like this or do that anymore? You can't. See, they think you're missing out. And they go, oh, you poor guy. But what our side, we're going, to us, it's like they're saying, oh, you can't eat dog food anymore? And we go, well, I guess I could. But why would I want to? Why would I want to anymore when I've got God, His Word, His very presence in my life? I know Him better through His Word. All that steak and lobster of the Lord. But if you stop that, if you stop partaking of Him, you start getting anemic. You're getting hungry, you don't spend that time, and all of a sudden, it starts looking like, oh, maybe that is the answer. But it's a lie. Because spiritually speaking, I mean, I guess even dog food has some nutrition, but spiritually, the world has nothing because it's a whole different realm. See, what are some of the... I keep going back and forth there. What are some of the things that... But think about it. Just what are some of the things that the world would say? Not just its views, but even... Well, yes, views, but I mean... Something like, you know, you're going to find purpose and meaning in life if you'll just get enough money. If you'll just have success in your career. Marry right, live right, right car, right house, whatever it is. Then you're going to... Purpose, meaning, fulfilled, spiritually happy, it never works because it's not, it's in a whole different realm. It's not whereby our spirits grow. But again, it's a quick fix. You're really hungry. You walk into the kitchen. You're looking in the cupboards, looking in the refrigerator. I'm hungry. What do you do so often do? Well, let's see. I could take an hour and fix this meal. Or, how about a bowl of Fruit Loops? That's looking pretty good right now. And out we go, because it's a quick fix. Just to handle, you guys can handle the examples. Well, if I get a letter from Kellogg's or something this week, I don't know. But anyway, but the idea is, we want quick fixes. We want quick fixes physically, and we want it spiritually. But again, it's a ripoff. It won't make it. Studying God's Word is going to take some digging in, some commitment. Some time. It takes a while to fix a good meal. It's going to take some time to dig in. But you get out of what you put into it. And that's the call. Which one do you eat from regularly in terms of spiritually? For all you moms, this being Mom's Day, why don't you let your kids in general, why do you not let your kids eat sweets right before a meal? Remember, your parents said it to you growing up, and now you say it to them. Mom, can I have this? And you go, what? No, you're going to spoil your appetite. Right? You tell them, no, you can't have that. You can't have the candy bar right now. You're going to eat in half an hour. Forget it. You're going to spoil your appetite. What's that mean? That you're going to take in this candy bar, and it's going to kind of fool your tummy. It's going to kind of make your tummy think that it's got some nourishment now. The appetite will be diminished. But the problem is, it is fooling it because it didn't give it what it needs. And so that's why you don't let him eat. So God says, no, it will spoil your appetite spiritually. Stay away from that stuff. Malice and guile and everything else. Stay away from it. Because it will spoil your appetite for what you really need. The only thing that's really healthy. Because if you eat from there, you'll wonder, why am I struggling? Why am I hurting? What's wrong with my spiritual life here? Because you got fooled. You spoiled your appetite, so to speak. Well, it's an example that can go on and on. Great things to think about and apply. I hope you will do so. Maybe every once in a while you sit down to have some whatever. Maybe it'll help you think about, well, wait a minute, what am I taking in spiritually? What have I eaten lately spiritually? What's good for my, am I eating that which is the only thing will feed me? God's Word. So maybe it'll kind of challenge all of us. If you're growing spiritually, good. Just as I can look at someone who's in good shape physically and tell you that that person probably is working out, they're getting some kind of exercise, and that they're eating properly, you can tell by looking at them. You can tell by looking at someone, so to speak, spiritually, and I can tell you what they're eating spiritually. When they are anemic, when they are struggling, not getting victories and all, you can probably believe that they've been eating from the world's junk food. Now, God in His love says, stop. I got better for you. You were born that you might grow. On out till we're home with Him. So if you are eating properly, spiritually, then good. Keep it up. Keep it up. But if you're not, do you need to change your diet? Then here's something to consider. It's our desire around here to set the table with good food spiritually. It's our privilege to have that calling to do that. I'm not saying we're the only place that sets the table spiritually with good scriptural food. Many places are, thank God. Many places aren't. Be very discerning. There are times I've had people come back to me after not being here for a couple of months, and I'll say, what's up? And they'll go, well, tell you the truth, I tried so-and-so church. What happened? Well, it was glitzy, man. It was great entertainment and going on. They said, but you know, I found after a while I was starving. Spiritually, I was starving. I found I was stuck and stagnant. I wasn't really growing. I mean, I knew the latest Christian song or something, but I wasn't growing in the Lord. I didn't know Him better than. And so they come back, because it's our prayer. They always know you can come to the Calvary Chapel and get a good, solid scriptural meal. I pray that always be the case here. Having said that, let me say this. There is not one person here. Well, there might be one, but probably not. For most people here, there's no one here that's going to eat today and then not eat again until next Sunday. Every person here is probably going to eat just about every day this week, unless it's the fasting day that's coming up this Thursday for you ladies. But anyway, the point, you understand the concept here. And yet some of you are going to try to live all week on this meal right now. You wouldn't think of doing that physically. You're going to eat lunch and pretty soon, a couple hours, you're back in the refrigerator for dinner. But many of you are going to try to live on this meal right now all week. And you wonder, why am I anemic? Why am I weak? Because you know what? This meal right now isn't even really a full meal. Sunday mornings, in this example, really, Sunday mornings are more like an appetizer. What are you saying? I'm saying that just by virtue of how the setting is right here, we can't go real deep. In this setting right now, we have people who don't even know the Lord. Some of you are just visiting and considering Him. Great, you're welcome. We have people from don't know the Lord to just know the Lord to a few years to maybe some of you years and years, all range. And here I am called to try to feed a meal to that whole range. It's going to be limited by design. But if you're at all very old in Him, you're going to need more. Now, an appetizer is fine. It can have healthy food. But what's it designed to do? Make you hungry for more. It's to whet your appetite for more. If you go to a restaurant and they give you a little appetizer, a lot of you guys, they take that plate away and they said, okay, that's all. You say, hold on, man. That got me started. I know. I've seen some of you guys at retreats. And yet some of you will just happy. It's going to be just, oh, this is enough. I'll live all week on this. This is an appetizer, really. We set the table around here by God's mercy many times. If you want to grow, then come where we're setting the meal. Monday nights, God, through Pastor Tim, is setting an awesome table for us in the Bible trolley as they go through the Word of God. Come out and eat the meal. Wednesdays, there's the women's study, the men's study. A chance to come out and eat a good spiritual meal. See, that's our calling, to set the table. There's the regular gatherings of the setting of the table. There are the special occasions of setting of the tables. Ladies, this weekend, you have a banquet that's going to be prepared for you, ladies. 3 days of just pigging out in the Word of God and letting Him minister to you. But I can't eat for you and you can't eat for me. You got to commit to it. Our call here is to set the table. Your call is to eat, desire, crave the pure milk of God's Word. Again, no one here will try to live all week on one meal physically. Don't try to do the same spiritually. Get involved in an ongoing Bible study that makes you dig deeper. Get a devotional study going. Get some way you systematically read through your Bible maybe, or something in the mornings being your day in a good, solid, biblical devotional. Not a warm, fuzzy feeling thing, but something that's going to expose you to God's Word. Get involved in this daily. Get in the practice of daily reading God's Word. That's the invitation. Point is, it's how you're going to grow spiritually. So, we come back to where we started. Be honest. What are you feeding yourself spiritually? Be honest. With God. Be real. Are you trying to live on the world's junk food? Then you will miss out. And you'll be hurting. But God says, come on. I set a banquet every day. Sit down and sup with Him. Every day. Watch what He does. See, that's the choices we have. It's It's going to be the junk food of this world or the good stuff of God's Word. God is calling you, believer. In light of the times we live in light of things that are coming up ahead, in light of the very issues of our lives, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. I'm going to invite the worship team up to close us out. If you need a prayer this morning, there'll be prayer partners by the prayer room. Go find them. They'd love to pray with you. For all of us. What will each day find us eating spiritually? It's up to you. I pray it'll be the pure milk of God's Word. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we've covered a lot of ground, really, Lord. We've taken this time to sit before you, and we gather with the purpose of hearing from you, and I believe you've definitely, through your word, spoken to us about some choices that each of us need to make every day, about how you've designed that once we're born, how we're to grow. Lord, challenge us. Are we really growing? Are we healthy? Are we strong? If not, then thank you, Lord, for showing us how we can be. I pray, Lord, you'll find us all every day craving, desiring, partaking of, taking in the pure milk of your word. To the end, Lord, that we would taste and know that you are good. That through your word we'd come to know you better and better. So thank you. Thank you for the privilege, Lord. I pray, Lord, every day we'll find us doing just that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.